This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast. I'm Brad the Big Noise Evans. He is Senior Fun Buns, Brandon Funston from The Athletic. And let's go ahead and dive in on today's show. It is a Football Friday here on the pod, which means a whole lot of player pick'ems across the board. We got to get ourselves prepared. Maybe you're already down, I don't know, roughly 30 points because you ran to the buzzsaw that it was Jonathan Taylor on Thursday Night Football against the New York Jets. So let's try to get you somehow competitive and maybe get you over the hump. So, Brandon, if you're willing to roll the dice on one player this weekend that might be a little bit off the radar, put your huevos on the line. Let's get bold, man, with your biggest, baddest, most ridiculous prediction for this upcoming weekend slate of games. What is it, my man?
Well, you know, Jerry Jeudy is not a player that's off the radar, but some people might be a little bit hesitant to go back to the well after he returned in week 8 and had 4 catches for 39 yards. But I think, A, that was a get his feet wet, get back into the flow of things after being out since week 1. But B, I think this is a week that, you know, the matchup against Dallas, Dak Prescott playing, the fact that I think Denver is going to have to push the pace and Teddy Bridgewater's going to have to throw the ball. And if you just look at who's really ripped up the Cowboys in that secondary, it's a lot of guys of Jerry Jeudy's ilk, like Keenan Allen going over 100 yards and DJ Moore going over 100 yards and Kadarius Toney with no Sterling Shepard going for 189 and the Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown's both going over 100 yards. There's a lot of guys that, you know, can bring a lot to the table that Jerry Jeudy can. So I'm going to go for 100-plus yards and a touchdown for Jerry Jeudy, his best game of the season.
Oh, man. That is certainly tickling my pickle. That's raising the heart rate there, Brandon. And I got a feeling you might be hearing Jerry Judy's name a little bit later on in this podcast in our Player Pick'ems edition. I'm going to stick with the wide receiver position, and I'm going to go with Van. He's my man. Van Jefferson of the LA Rams of the prime time lights taking on the Tennessee Titans down Derrick Henry. I think he goes for at least 70 yards and a long touchdown. You look at Jefferson, he's got a 14.0 average at the target. He's averaging 16.33 yards per catch, and he boasts a 120.9 passer rating when targeted. And you get the Tennessee Titans, right? The Titans have allowed the second most fantasy points to the wide receiver position, going to draw a lot of corner Greg Maben in the secondary, who is near the bottom of the barrel in pass coverage grades, according to Pro Football Focus. So, again, Van Jefferson, 70-plus yards and a TD. And Funston, all about that Jerry Jeudy love. With that, let's get to it with another edition of the Fantasy Five.
Number 5.
All right, as everybody knows, if you're familiar with this podcast, it's a 3-pack of player pick'ems. You get 3 players to choose from here, Brandon. At each position, you simply tell me who's going to have the better fantasy week. Let's go and dive in on group number 1. They're all QBs, and here are your options. Kirk Cousins in Baltimore, Tua Tagovailoa, which I'm sure is your answer, against Houston, or not Taysom Hill. I would probably insert somebody else. Let's go with like Ryan Tannehill, because originally when I wrote the script, Taysom Hill had a shot of starting. That is no longer the case because Trevor Siemian is going to get the nod. So let's put Tannehill here in the mix, drawing the LA Rams. So Tannehill, Tua, or Cousins, who do you got?
Yeah, actually, I have Kirk Cousins 11 and Tua 12 and Tannehill 14. So I'm going to go Kirk Cousins because the guy is, he's like 2-3 touchdowns every week. He's been generally consistent, getting, you know, at least mid-200s yardage. You can throw on Baltimore. The receiving, you know, the secondary has been tough on receivers, but you can hurt them with running backs and tight ends in the passing game. And also, when you have Justin Jefferson, I think you still have a chance to hurt him at the wide receiver position as well. So I'm just going to go with the safety factor, Kirk Cousins. Like Tua's matchup, but you know, I just don't know that he's as bankable as a safety kind of play as Kirk Cousins is.
Dude, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami swallowed a sword, and you know, not one of like the professionals that does it and pulls it out, but like an amateur, and then they puncture themselves. You know, I could see them losing to Houston. quite honestly. Yeah. So
well, like tripping, like charging the Texans with their sword held high, and then they trip on a rock and they end up
impaling themselves.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you fall on your own sword, which you don't really want to do. That'd be a painful way and a really idiotic way to go. And everybody would laugh at you in your final moments on this earth. But I'm with you, man. It's Captain Kirk. Let's go with Kirk Cousins. I've said this before. I think the Ravens and Vikings game will be the highest scoring affair on the Week 9 docket. You know, the Ravens you talked about, they've given up 300 400-yard passers this season. In fact, they've given up 312.3 pass yards per game, 1.7 passing touchdowns per game, 8.23 pass yards per attempt. I think Kirk, who has, you know, been over 270 yards in four games this season, he's number three in adjusted completion percentage. This seems like a perfect setup for Minnesota. And a game that they were supposed to win against Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys, they lose, right? And they'll turn around in a game in which they're six-point underdogs and be there at the bitter end in hell, maybe even sneak a W when everybody's writing them off. That's the MO of Minnesota, and I would not be at all shocked if they continue to follow down that path. So I think it's 300-plus. I think it's multiple touchdowns. I got them ranked number 10 this week, and that might be too low. So you and I off to a hand-in-hand start here, amigo, on Player Pick'ems.
Number 4.
All right, let's go with some flex options. Here at the running back position next. And again, we're assuming a half point per reception league. Here are your options. Jeremy McNichols is going to be in a timeshare with the ageless Adrian Peterson, who apparently was impressive. So much so that the Titans coaching staff said, yeah, we're going to activate him off the practice squad. He is up now rest of season with the varsity squad. So, you know, again, Adrian Peterson, the man just simply does not age. And I wish I had his blood pumping through my veins. But McNichols against the Rams on the road. Derek Gore out of nowhere last year. Frank Gore's grandchild against Green Bay. Or A.J. Dillon, same game, different name, drawing those Kansas City Chiefs. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jeremy McNichols. I know that Adrian Peterson's looked good out of the jump for Tennessee, but I just don't know that you can throw him in and give him a big workload. And Jeremy McNichols, is his highest carry touch or carry game was 2 this year. Mm-hmm. But I think it could be like 5 or 6, you know, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I think this is also a game where he's got 5 or 6 catches coming his way as well. I mean, the Rams have given up 49 RB receptions. We've seen 8 from DeAndre Swift, 9 from Gio Bernard, bunch of running backs that have had 4. And I just think between, you know, the rushing and receiving, he's going to get over 10 touches in this game. I think they might be playing from a deficit. We could see the Rams defense loosening up a little bit and Jeremy McNichols making hay in that soft underbelly.
Yeah, you know, I like that call quite a bit. I think McNichols could have 5, 6 receptions this week. I think he's got a pretty high floor for those in receptions-heavy leagues. But I'm going to chase the ceiling of A.J. Dillon. You know, the best way to alleviate the pressure in a raucous environment on a young, inexperienced quarterback is to just hand the ball off to Aaron Jones and also Dillon, a guy that's like a refrigerator with feet. Yeah, or one of those old-school Montgomery Ward freezer chests, you know, that people would store, like, dead body parts in.
Yeah. It's not Montgomery Ward's, but I got one of those out in my garage. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, Brandon is a serial killer.
Not a dead body, though.
Oh, well, you might have cow parts in there and a lot of those.
I do have some cow parts.
Well, right here in Central Illinois, you can buy full cattle that they chop up for the University of Illinois, and they sell them in whole, and then you just throw it in one of these giant freezer chests. Anyway, I digress. It's all about A.J. Dillon. He's going to be a big old chunk of beef that's going to taste delicious, a filet mignon for those that employ his services. Why? Again, you want to take the pressure off of Jordan Love. It's a soft matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs that allow 4.33 yards per carry at the running back position. And Dillon, I think, is going to reprise the role that he had last week. Remember, with Aaron Rodgers, he didn't have Davante Adams. He didn't have Alan Lazard due to the COVID protocols. And the Packers went run heavy against Zona. And I think they're going to employ a similar tactic against Kansas City. So this could be another 15, 16 carry, 60-plus yard game. And Lord knows, instead of handing the ball off to Aaron Jones, I know he's really efficient in the red zone, but if he gets stonewalled and like first and goal at the 1, just bring in the big body guy and let him fall forward, because that's all he does. He's RB7 in yards after contact per attempt. So I think the most upside here is with Dillon. Funston says go with McNichols.
number three.
All right, let's work in a three-pack of wide receivers. Here are your choices. Cole Beasley against Jacksonville. Kadarius Toney, maybe with Kenny Galladay back against Las Vegas. It does feel good. It wasn't so good last week with our player prop bets, but maybe we'll rebound. Or Jarvis Landry with OBJ now completely out of the picture. He draws Cincinnati in the battle for Ohio. Who do you got?
Oh, yeah, you don't – I'm going to go with the bee's knees and Cole Beasley. You don't replace Dawson Knox with backup tight end Tommy Sweeney. You replace him with Cole Beasley, and we've seen that play out in the last two games. No Dawson Knox. Cole Beasley went from four targets combined in the two games before Knox was injured to 22 targets in the last two games. He's averaging right at about 100 yards per game in those two contests. He now has – he now has four games with seven or more catches, and three of those games he had 13 targets in. So he's right now in Josh Allen's crosshairs. It's a great matchup. I think he's the most bankable, reliable of this group, so give me Beasley.
Yeah, I'm with him. It's Cole Beasley for me, a player that I featured in my Fantasy Flames column this week, available right now at ballysports.com. Everybody in the slot has teed off on Jacksonville. And there's just a laundry list of names. Look at Tyler Lockett last week, Tyler Boyd, Christian Kirk. All those guys went over 100 yards against his secondary. Trey Herndon is the primary slot DB. He's given up a 132.2 passer rating to his assignments. As you mentioned, Beasley has been going nuts these last couple of games with a 22 target, 17 catches, 198 yards, and a touchdown. He's got a 76.7 catch rate on the year. This is going to be a 7-8 catch game. I think he's north of 70 yards and a threat to find the end zone. Pretty safe floor for the underneath weapon there in Buffalo.
Number two.
All right. Well, I already know the answer to this one, but I'm going to go ahead and lay out the options for our listeners anyway.
No, you don't. I don't think you do.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to go Jerry Jeudy at Dallas. Originally, I had Devontae Parker in here, but sadly, let's pour one out. He had a setback. So let's throw Jalen Waddle in this mix against Houston or Brandon Cooks at Miami. I know where you're going, unless you're going to surprise me what is behind door number three. So shock the world, Brandon.
I'm going Brandon Cooks. I know
you all are shocking the world. Okay.
Yeah. I know I opened up with the hot take on Jerry Jeudy, and I have him ranked very strongly. I'm guessing I'm among the highest rankers on Jerry Jeudy this week, but I'm also very high on Brandon Cooks, and it's about Tyrod Taylor coming back. It's about the volume he gets no matter who's the quarterback, and it's about the matchup, especially right now. The Miami Dolphins in the last 4 weeks have given up 9 wide receiver touchdowns. They've given up 4 100-yard receiving games. They've just been – I mean, the amount of fantasy points allowed is almost 50% higher than the league average to wide receivers over that span. So – they are just in a place right now, whether it's Xavier Howard and Byron Jones there or not. Those guys have been in and out of the lineup. It hasn't mattered lately. They've just been killed through the air. Brandon Cooks, I think, is in line, potentially have one of his best games of the year.
Oh, Brandon, you and I are once again on the same page. I'm going to go with the Wolfgang Puck, the Emeril Lagasse, the Julia Child of what? Deep cut? Julia Child. Julia Child.
It makes perfect sense to me.
We're going to slice the turkey and serve it on this platter that is made of silver. And that is exactly what Cooks is going to do for those that back him. He's going to serve up those fantasy points on that silver platter. For all the reasons that Brandon mentioned, I got nothing else to add. So I think he's going to renew that bromance that he had fostered early in the season with Tyrod Taylor. Just for S's and G's, I want to compare rankings here, Brandon. So show your work, and we'll see who's the bigger man here on Jerry Jeudy. Where do you got him ranked?
Loading, and I am at wide receiver 15, and that is with an uneasy feeling for my number 14 receiver in Devontae Adams. So I am wide receiver 15 on Brandon Cooks, which, I'm showing my work, and I'm thinking I might be the bigger man.
Yeah, I'm reshuffling my rankings, trying to get him one spot ahead of you right now. I can't do it. I can't. So just put it in context. I got Brandon Cooks at 17. So where do you got Cooks?
I got Cooks at 15. I got Keenan Allen at 16. Michael Pittman played last night, and he's number 17. Mike Williams, who
I got Williams way down.
Yeah, and Cordarrelle Patterson I have ranked behind him. Robert Woods I have ranked behind him, then Jerry Jeudy. So Jeudy is just outside my top 20. Brandon Cooks right in the middle of my teens. All actually, right. You know, I have DeAndre Hopkins above Brandon Cooks. TBD on him as well. So Brandon Cooks actually could move higher.
Yeah, and that doesn't shock me. Now, I've got Cooks at 17. I've got, just full disclosure here, Robert Woods one spot ahead at wide receiver 16. I got Patterson at 18. I have Pittman at 19. Julio Jones at 20. Jerry Jeudy at 21 is where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm down on Julio Jones because I just still don't know that even if he says he's playing, that we know an early exit or a sometime exit is always in the cards for him.
Yeah, always trust issues with Julio, but certainly not the case for Brandon Cooks, nor Mr. Jerry Jeudy.
Number one.
Let's go ahead and wrap this up here with a running back conundrum, and we're going to label Cordarrelle Patterson as a rusher here, Brandon. So, of course, he's drawn the New Orleans Saints. Elijah Mitchell gets Arizona. Josh Jacobs against the New York Giants, and just one note tied to Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson could make a return this week and maybe siphon off some touches, but maybe not. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, maybe not. I'm going Eli Mitchell. I mean, he's just been so good the last few weeks. Really, every time he's played, you know, the only game in which he wasn't good for fantasy purposes was, you know, games that he's been injured in. And, you know, the last two games, over 100 yards in each game, almost 6 yards per carry in each game. And if Jeff Wilson's coming, he's been out all year long. Are they going to plug him in for 10 to 12 carries right out of the gate? No, maybe they'll give him a series or two. But I think this is still going to be Eli Mitchell's game. Kyle Shanahan's, you know, kind of loved him all year long and went right back to him every time he's been healthy enough to return. So for me, it's Mitchell. Patterson, I don't like the matchup against the Saints. I don't like, you know, them not having Calvin Ridley, another bullet lost from that chamber. And then Josh Jacobs, I like him. I think he'll score a touchdown. I just don't know how much yardage he'll get. And the sports books right now are cowards because they're not even offering a Josh Jacobs anytime touchdown at the moment. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Again, you and I very much aligned in some of these rankings this week. I am also going that same direction, Elijah Mitchell. Fun fact, Brandon, Elijah Mitchell is now number one among all qualifying running backs in yards after contact per attempt. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I would have imagined that he was right up there. So number one with a bullet, huh?
Yeah, it's impressive. He's at 4.32. Number two is James Robinson at 4.05. Chubb at 4.03. They're the only ones above 3.85 in that category. Amazing. I mean, that's how efficient he has been this season. I think he's must-start material, and I continuously get questions about him on social media, and I'm just like, why? Just play the man. It's a run-first scheme. And you look at the matchup against Arizona. Arizona has been generous on a yards-per-carry basis to opposing running backs. So Mitchell's going to get his probably another 15 to 18 touches. Going to be north of 75 yards, and I bet he finds the end zone as well. All right, Brandon, before we get out of here, any other predictions you would like to get on the record to maybe push people in the right direction and get them a critical W here at the midpoint of the regular fantasy season? What do you got?
Well, I just want to flag Rondale Moore. If you know, no AJ Green, you got to remember this is San Francisco defense, and he went for 59 receiving yards and 38 rushing yards against last time with no AJ Green. Could be another Rondale Moore week in the cards. It's been hard to predict him, but with no AJ Green and a banged up DeAndre Hopkins, this could be a good week for Rondale Moore, and I know he's sitting out there in a lot of leagues right now on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, we have a song for him. It's I Wish by Ski-Lo. I wish it was a little bit taller. Wish it was a baller. Wish I had a girl with a good I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit and a hat and a bat and a 6'4".
I wish I had AJ Green out of the lineup.
Well, so and you got it. We'll see if Kyler can go because he's a full-blown game-time decision according to Cliff Kingsbury, but Kingsbury said he didn't have to practice to play, so we'll see about that. But, you know, Moore does have some upside pending who's going to be throwing him the pill. My guy is a dude that is built like an Ewok. That's Boston Scott of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, beer keg in shape, and he never comes up foamy. You and I love him. We adore him. He's one of our favorite pet players, and he flashed last week. You know, he only played on 46.4% of the team snaps and a lopsided affair. That's why he relinquished some of those touches late to Jordan Howard to get his feet wet again in this Philadelphia Eagles offense. But he had, you know, the 12 carries, 60 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. And you look at the matchup this week, you get the L.A. Chargers are giving up 5 yards per carry, 132.1 rush yards per game. Man, I love me some Boston Scott. I think he's an RB2 through and through. You disagree?
I don't disagree. I think I have him back end RB2, but I do believe he is an RB2.
Yes, he is indeed. I got him at RB22 here in my week 9 ranks. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track Podcast. Please follow Funson on social media, Brandon Funson. Follow me there as well, at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this podcast. It helps out our show and its longevity tremendously. And as always, until next time, adios, amigos!